John chapter 15 this morning. John chapter 15. David had a good friend by the name of Philo. David and Philo did everything together. They loved to fish. They loved to kick around, play games, all those kinds of things. So David kept nagging his mom. Mom, can I please have him overnight? Can I please have him overnight? So finally she said, okay, have him over. So they were so excited, and they had such a good time all through the day until it became evening, and it was time to go to bed. That's when David learned that Philo doesn't like going to bed. And he was, you know, tickling and giggling and doing all those things. They got yelled at a couple of times from Leah and Levi, go to sleep already! And even then, in as soft a voice as he could, Philo started telling spooky stories to David late into the night. And David had nightmares all night long. In fact, the worst nightmare of all, he dreamt that he had fallen into a garbage pit and there was rotting fruit and vegetables all around. It just smelled so rank. He actually felt like he was going to throw up, and that woke him up out of his dead sleep. And sure enough, there was Philo's feet sticking right in his face. He turned upside down in the bed. Ah! Oh, but it was morning anyway, so it's time to get up. So he tried to wake Philo. Philo didn't like to go to bed, and Philo didn't like to get up. And when he finally got him out, he was so grouchy and so grumpy. Come to find out, Philo didn't like any of the food they liked to eat. And it just went on and on like that all day long until finally, after that, he wouldn't have anything to do with Philo anymore. Now, I happen to know, the saying goes, you think you know someone until what? You live with them. Yeah. We can do all the premarital counseling we want to, but until you live with somebody. I happen to know some roommates that they were best friends back home. When they went off to school, it was going to be great. They were going to live together. And after a couple of weeks in the same dorm room, they won't even speak to each other for the rest of their lives. Now, I'm going to say something to you that you might find outrageous on the surface, but think about it. I think you'll actually agree with me. It takes some work to learn how to live with God. Amen. It takes some doing to learn how to live with God. Not that he's not the best life partner ever. It's just that we're so set in our ways. We're so independent. We're so taken with we're right in the way we think and feel and act. But God will mess with you. God will take you to task. He does things right. And it's for us to adjust to him. Thankfully, he's patient enough that he's going to stick with us through all our little ups and downs and our little tantrums that we throw. And we only lose if we walk out. If you're willing, he's willing. You may have a long way to go. That's all right. He's got eternity to work on it. Part-time discipleship isn't discipleship at all. He's either God or he's not. This morning we're going to talk about becoming more and more yielded to him, abiding in him, remaining in him. John chapter 15, the first four verses. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Father, thanks for this life in Christ. It's something that I'm still working on, and I know my friends are too. Would you help us with this remaining thing, with this abiding thing? As humans, we're a lot more comfortable with just visiting you once a week or so, talking to you when we really have a problem. But there's a whole new life opened up to us when we start abiding remaining in you constantly. That's what I desire, Lord. Help us to get there, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If we're going to abide in Christ, we're going to have to understand how the relationship works. Jesus is the vine. In him is everything that is good, all of the power, all of the understanding, all of the wisdom. He's the vine. He's the source of wisdom. And we abide in him. And by doing so, we access that resurrection power and that all-knowing insight. Well, who wouldn't want that? What's the problem with coming to God? What's the problem with abiding in Christ? Discipleship comes at the expense of independence and self-will. I must decrease, he must increase. Not what I want, but what you want, God. So often we put Christianity out there as something that will polish up your life, something that will enhance all the things you love. Jesus said, if you seek your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lay your life aside for the kingdom, that's where you find your life. Discipleship comes at the expense of independence and self-will. Excuse me. If you're going to live the life of discipleship, you need to understand, you need to accept the terms and the conditions. Check that little box. I accept the terms and the conditions, Lord. Now, we often come to Christ just like we accept an app on our phone or on our computer. I have read and accept the terms. Just check this box. We know if we don't check that box, we don't get the app. We don't read the terms. We don't read the conditions. We just check the box so we can get the good stuff that we want. We find out later that we really signed up for some stuff that we don't care for and so on, but that's life in America today. You really should understand what the Lord is asking of us when we pray a sinner's prayer and we invite him into our heart and our life. The Father is the gardener. Jesus is the vine, we're a branch. The Father's the gardener. He has two jobs. Job number one, lop off branches that do not bear any fruit. He looks over the vine. He looks for suckers, we would call them in the horticulturalist society. He looks for suckers. Suckers are pulling juice, but they're not producing anything. And you lop those off. His job, the Father's job, God the Father, is looking for branches that don't bear any fruit to lop them off. The second thing he does is he prunes those that are fruitful so that they'll be ever more fruitful. So I want to tell you something about this Christian walk. You will get cut. You will get cut following Jesus. It's not happy, happy, joy, joy 24/7. You're going to get hurt. It's going to sting. We would think that all that stinging comes from the enemy. He's trying to discourage us. He's trying to kill us. And indeed he is. But he can do nothing that he's not allowed to do by the Father. Why would the Father allow us to get hurt? So that we could become even more fruitful. I did the hedges yesterday. I took out my... I love my... I hate cleaning up the mess after it's done, but I love doing it. You get one of those thick branches, and it's off. Pruning. The Father's... How many feel you've already been pruned way too much? The Lord gets a little too zealous sometimes. Lord, we've had enough. If you're going to walk in God, you're going to get cut ever so often. I was just talking to a good friend of mine here at the church. And somebody, you know, left the fellowship. He said, "How do you feel?" I said, "It breaks my heart." I said, "Seems like it's one heartbreak after another, doesn't it?" And he said, "Yeah." We get cut. It hurts. You expect it from the world, right? That might even be a badge of honor. But in the body of Christ, we often get cut. Somebody says or does something we just did not expect. It hurts. If you're in the body, so he's the vine, we are the branch. I want the good juice. I want a life that's fruitful. If that's going to be true, there's going to be times when you're hurting. If you're hurting right now, if you're stinging right now, maybe the devil's in one ear. Why you even bother? Why try? This isn't what you signed up. Yeah, on and on it goes. No, Jesus told us from the beginning, you're going to follow me, it's going to hurt. Pick up your bagels and follow me. Pick up your piña colada and follow me. No, pick up your cross and follow me. Is he worth it? Is he worth it? Amen, he's worth it. He's worth it. Lick your wounds. Get over it. Look for what God is doing. It's his job. He's going to cut you. It hurts. It hurts to be pruned, but it's a lot better than the alternative. Those branches that are cut off because they're unfruitful are thrown into the fire and burned. There's only one way to salvation, that's in Jesus Christ. I want to stay with him. It's going to cost me. It's going to hurt from time to time, but I remain in him. He who endures to the end shall be saved. Endure, my friend. Get a new grit about you. Decide all over again. Haven't you noticed that it's in those moments when you're waning and when it hurts so bad and you're ready to give up and you don't think you can go on? That's what breaks you through to a brand new day in Christ. If you endure, you will be stronger. You're like that caterpillar in the last stage before the wings pop out. What did I do all this for? Cocoon. Who would want to live in a cocoon? But sudden freedom, revelation, and joy is ours when we see it through in Christ. You're in this thing to bear good fruit that blesses God. You're here to be fruitful. You're here to be effective. When things serve their purpose, we take care of them. When they no longer function, we get rid of them. Ever buy a new refrigerator? You go and you look at the store, they're all so shiny and so on and so on. This is free. Be careful when you shop for a washer and dryer. They make them real shiny now. And big price tags. The little white one that you put the clothes in that will wash your clothes just as well for a couple $100 as for a couple thousand. I don't mean to bring condemnation or guilt on anybody who went shopping yesterday, but I just, you know, but when they break down, they're just bigger junk. And anybody keep your refrigerators after they don't keep things cold? I know there are some people that do that kind of stuff, but You call up, you say, "I like to buy a new, do you haul the old one away?" And your old refrigerator, "What do you mean haul away? I've been so faint. I've been here for 12 years. I've kept your, and you're just going to pitch me away." We keep it because it's useful. We liked it. We were happy to see the refrigerator every morning. I've got a grandson, Hudson. That's his thing. Open up the refrigerator and just stand there. I don't know whether it's the light or it's the cool air, but he just loves the refrigerator. But if there was no light, no cool air, I'm sure he wouldn't be interested. Branches that don't bear fruit hinder branches that do. I found this haunting. You read through the book of Revelation, the things that Jesus said to the churches. You're doing pretty good, but I got this against you. If you don't straighten that out, you're gone. Ooh, wow. That doesn't sound like the kind of preaching we do today, normally. In fact, I was thinking the other day, we probably need some good hellfire and brimstone preaching. And the more I thought about that, I thought, you know what? We use that term. I'll bet that there's a whole generation that never heard a hellfire and brimstone message. Never even heard one. We've been so afraid of them. We've been so traumatized by them. Oh, if we were to preach one of those, we'd clean our church out right away. Wouldn't that what would happen? I think maybe America's ripe to hear that there are consequences to sin. Amen. Amen. I'm thinking maybe that's, I don't know, what people ought to hear. This God loves everybody, doesn't matter what you do. And, you know, it does matter what you do. And Jesus is the one that said what we're studying today. He's even gone so far as to say, if you're not fruitful, if you're not remaining in the vine, if you're not drawing from him, if you just got sucked on for a little while because you felt guilty and I better do something about it, and then you go on your merry way. Hey, whoa, whoa. You ought to know. The Father's got a saw and he ain't afraid to use it. Because the Father is protecting the Son, the reputation of the Son, the church, and the people that are his own. In the book of Revelation, you know, Jesus comes by and he says, you need to deal with those people who are caught up in sin. Otherwise, you can't be a church anymore. Why? Because don't you know a little bit infects the whole body? And when we allow sin in and we allow that to continue, but oh, we're so afraid of offending anybody today that we just allow the fox right into the hen house. And we ask the fox, what else can we do to make you comfortable here? And Jesus is looking in complete different directions. He's looking at pastors. He's looking at churches. He will hold us accountable for what we allow within the body of Christ, because the little ones are watching, the tender ones are here. When the Father lops a branch off, we actually started the process ourselves because we started pulling away anyway. We got all caught up in our own life. We weren't concerned about God. Oh yeah, we always wanted to suck a little juice whenever. Lord, I'm sick. Could you please heal me? Lord, I got real problems with the wife. Could you please give me, my husband is really, you know, we're not bearing any fruit. Abiding in Christ is everything. It'll bring you a wonderful sense of peace, comfort, encouragement, as well as directions for living a worthwhile life. You want incentive to keep abiding in Christ. Trust me, you don't want what you want. You think you want what you want. But if you get what you want, you're going to get what you don't want. You want to want what he wants. You want to abide in him. So everything, warnings and encouragements, everything that brings you back centered on God, that's good. Millions who have been attached will have been removed and thrown into the, where? Into the fire. Oh, don't get caught up on all the theological points there and so on, and eternal security and this and that. Did Jesus mean what he said or not? Unfruitful branches will be thrown into the fire. But what Bob said, a minute ago, life is flying right by. If we don't do something now, time is running out. Okay, so what is good fruit? We know that the fruit of the Spirit, right? That's all good. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, meekness, gentleness, faith, self-control. That's all good stuff. Is that you? Are you a bundle of nerves, or are you love, joy, peace, patience, kindness? And some people comes more natural than others, but we work on it. Acts of service. Do you love other people, or is it all about you? Are you all concerned about being a beautiful, leafy, branchy branch? Or are you here to bear fruit? This is why I'm here. God gives me so I can give it to somebody else. I am a conduit of God's glory and grace to others. How can I serve today? How can I serve on a continual basis? Pick and choose the things you do with that in mind. Does this glorify God? Is God leading me to do this? God leads me to do it, then how can I glorify God in the doing? Is this a place for me to shine? Shine for Christ or just shine for me? Who are you shining for? I was trying to get the lighting right on those moments I do. You know, having a bald head and trying to get lighting right is a real conundrum. And it takes some... Who are you trying to shine for? Bearing fruit is a completely natural phenomenon. Some of you live near the orchard. Some of you have gone to go pick your own. Have you ever heard a tree grunt? It's just natural. It just comes. First the blossom and then the little bit of fruit. It's just completely natural. If you abide in Jesus, you will naturally bear fruit. You really won't have to worry about it. It will be the things you enjoy doing. You will be blessing other people. Abide in Jesus and you will bear much good fruit, Jesus said. Abiding in Jesus is wonderful in and of itself. Peace, joy, encouragement, so on and so forth. Your presence is heaven to me. We love that. I love being in Jesus. But apart from that, you will naturally bear good fruit. Now catch this. It's a bit of an oxymoron. The work is in the abiding, being sensitive, seeking His presence. It's almost like working to relax. You ever lay down at night, it's time to go to sleep, but you can't sleep? And so what do? You have a conversation with yourself. Now, relax. Don't think about those things. Pray. Maybe you, like me, I do Psalm 23 a lot. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Maybe there's a song that helps to calm you. You're working at sleeping. You may have a little bit of time in between meetings, and you just want to relax a little bit, and you know, but you're tense or you're stressed. The Christian walk cannot be done just trying to work for God. If you're just trying to work for God, that will end in frustration. That will be stressful. You'll be wondering, did I do enough? All this and that. If you can get sweet in Jesus, I'll tell you what the world needs more than anything else right now is a calm spirit, a calm Christ spirit in us. Not joining this cause, not fighting against that cause, just being to walk into a room and be the calm presence. Maybe your family needs that more than anything else. You walk into the room and one's at the other and so on, and you just join the fray. And so there's another, maybe the things you're saying are good and right, but it's not helping, is it? You need to abide in Christ. You need to get calm. You need to have that sweet sensitivity of the Holy Spirit. Let the others yell if they want to. You work at abiding in Christ and the fruit will just come. Things will change. Verse 3 says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. As much as we understand grace, you're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. You cannot do enough things to save you. We understand that. So just accept you're clean. Oh, I had a good day. Yes, I did this. I did it. So God loves me more, right? No. I am saved by grace alone. In my hands no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. If you're waiting, you're clean because of the word he spoke to you. Can you say to yourself right now, I am completely forgiven. I am clean. That's not how we feel as Christians, is it? We always feel, at least I do, I always feel a little dirty. Even if I'm in prayer, I'm not perfect. Never will be this side of heaven. But I am clean. Why? Because of the word he spoke over me. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let Joel be clean, and Joel was clean. He said, let you be, you are clean. What we're talking about is not working for your salvation. We're talking about abiding in Jesus in such a sweet way that you're just naturally fruitful. Good comes out of you and not wickedness. Your words are sweet and encouraging, not damaging and discouraging. Verse 5, once again, we see that the work is in the abiding. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do absolutely nothing. So next time you run off and you don't have time for prayer and you don't have time to get connected to the Lord, how much are you going to accomplish? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely. The work is in the abiding. You abide and the work will get accomplished. You abide and God will see that things get done. If we humble ourselves, he will heal our land. Verses 9 through 14. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Wow, he's concerned about my joy. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Two key words here, love and command, love and obey. He loves us, therefore he commands. We love him, therefore we obey. Obedience to God flows from love for God. It's not duty driven. Well, I have to do this because God said so. I'm going to get lopped off if I don't. Do you want to be filled with joy? Do you want to have some peace? Do you want to finally know what it is to be content? Abide in Jesus. Abide in Jesus. Abide in Jesus. You get frustrated. You can't do as much as you used to. You can't this or that. Abide in Jesus. Abide in Jesus. Abide in Jesus. That's where the satisfaction comes from. Love engenders trust, and trust frees us to move from faith in what I think ought to happen to faith in what the Lord says needs to happen. I might feel like punching my enemy. Oh, yeah, you make me so mad. What did Jesus say? Bless, feed, care for. Okay, well, Lord, this sounds stupid to me, but I'll do what you say. Why would I obey him? Because I love him. Because I trust him. Okay, God, I'm pretty sure I know better than you do on this one. But we'll do it your way. You ever say that to somebody? Okay, we'll do it your way. And we'll see how this works out. But I just want to remind you, we're doing it your way. Oh, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Barb and I were folding a fitted sheet the other day. I like to fold fitted sheets by myself because I do it my way. Kind of looks like this when I'm done, but I did it my way. And I told the wife, I said, let's do it this way. She said, do it my way. I said, do it my way. She said, do it my way. I thought, I'm the man. God put me in charge. We did it her way. It turned out really nice. It looked almost like a flat sheet that was folded when... Do it my way. I know better. I do know better, but somehow it worked out when we did it her way. We would agree, right? God knows better. Why do we keep arguing with him? Why does that self-will still come to the fore time and time? But it's almost good that it does. Because then we can demonstrate, I put my faith in you. I put my faith, I'm going to do it your way, God. And I'm just going to trust. It's better for others, better for the kingdom, and it's better for me when I yield to his purposes and ways. Jesus said, if we love him, we will obey him. There's a lot of noise in Christian circles right now. You don't have to obey God. Just love him. God loves you. He's not going to... That's not true. It doesn't say if we love him, we will love him. If we love him, we'll have all these fuzzy feelings. If we love him, we'll do everything we please to do. What did we say earlier? No, you'll get cut following God. It's going to hurt everyone. It's going to hurt significantly every once in a while. If we love him, we will obey him. That's where love shows up, is in obedience. It's not duty-driven, it's love and trust-driven. God loves those who obey him, and he opens up the windows of heaven to pour out on them blessing after blessing. Growing kingdom fruit is a joyful experience. If you don't think so, talk to Stan this morning. He's in the other room in prayer right now, praying for the people that they ministered to yesterday. He sent me a text yesterday. Let's see if I can find it quick here. Let's see who all texted. President Trump and so down here. Stan. All right. Hi, brother. Today has been the best day of my life. 6 exclamation points. Serving Jesus with my friends. At one point, people were lined up for prayer. It was amazing. All capitals, more explanation points. Thank you for everything you taught me. This is so fulfilling. Yeah. There's nothing like serving Jesus. Remember when the 72 came back, he empowered them, he sent them out. They came back rejoicing. He said, don't take an extra purse along. Don't take any extra clothes. I don't know. If I'm one of the 72 and Jesus said, don't take, I'm thinking, okay, how about a candy bar or something? You know, just an energy drink. And you know, nah, don't take any. I'm going out worried. And I can kind of relate to that. These services that we've been having outside and so on, every week, I'm thinking, did we decide the right thing? Is this too much? Is this too little? And every service I get, I love the service. I go home just cloud nine. God meets us, you know, every time. So I can imagine, they're sent out. Well, what are we going to do now? We don't have any extra food. We don't have any extra clothes. They came back. Woohoo! Time of our lives. This was amazing. Man, people were being delivered and healed, and they came into the kingdom. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for sending us out. None of it made sense. None of his orders made sense, but it was great. At some point, friend, you have to go off the diving board. You have to let go. You have to trust that he knows what he's doing, and he's calling you into the joyful end. He's calling you into the deep end where life really happens. Oh, but I need this or I'm not going to be happy. And I can't let go of that because, you know, maybe he understands I'll bring that. Just let go. Let go. If he said it's bad for you, it's bad for you. No matter how much you enjoyed it in the past. If he says it's good for you, it's good for you. No matter how afraid of it you are. Move forward in God. It's not that you work for God and he just rewards you with things, although that might be part of the package. It's that the work itself is a reward. It makes God happy and it utterly delights us as well. The work itself is a reward. There are a lot of people who are afraid God's going to call them to something. That ought to be your hunger and your desire. Jesus, use me, and oh Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. Lord, I worry that the sands of time are going to run out and I will not have fulfilled the reason I'm here. I will not have done what you called me to do. I want to be about the Father's business. There's something happens in life. At some point in life, if life is going well for you, at some point in life, you stop hating work and you start loving work. You start enjoying doing the things you used to not like. And you understand this is a privilege and a joy. I wouldn't go back to school for anything. But if I was to be young all over again, I would go to school completely different than the way I did the first time. How about you? I honestly thought they were torturing me. I honestly thought it was a system, you know, dedicated to the torture of Joel. And the big, mean, yellow bus showed up and it swallowed you up and took you away from everything familiar and that you loved. And all I didn't know that they were actually trying to do me some good. And they would have done me a whole lot more good if I'd have known that. I just didn't know. At some point in your Christian walk, you got to quit looking at God as the guy with the big ruler ready to rack you over the head. And that's not that at all. He's the guy calling you, come on, get on the bus. We're going to camp. It's going to be great. You're going to love it. Just let go of what you are holding on to now, and he'll show you a life you never knew existed. The work itself is a reward as we abide in him. Otherwise, it'll kill you. You try to do the Christian walk without abiding in him, it'll kill you. Those wounds will destroy you. The attitudes, the hearts of others, they'll rip you up. You get ripped up by those things, but the sweet thing about that is when you're abiding in Christ, it drives you back to the vine. How many times? I remember like it was yesterday, although it's been, I don't know what, 15, 20 years ago now, probably 20 years. We were going through such a hard time as a church, and the struggle was so deep. I remember Barb and I turned two of these chairs around and put them in the front, and we just knelt and we wept before God. And we said to him, I don't know we can do this anymore. I don't think we can go on, God. And God, either you're going to do a work or we're done. 15, 20 years ago, we're still going. He did a work. He's faithful, amen? He's true. It drives us back to the vine. We tried to figure it out. We talked to our superiors. We did what we could. It drove us back to the vine. It drove us back to our knees. And when a trial or a problem does that, blessed trial, it's brought us to the right place. Stop abiding and suddenly the ministry becomes stressful, difficult, impossible. That's our red flag that we're trying to carry the load alone. We're trying to do it again. And this will happen over and over and over again in your Christian walk. You'll be back at it alone again. And you need to stop. You need to drop everything. You need to find the cross all over again and say, oh, God, I'm sorry. I've been trying to carry it again, haven't I? Remember Jesus' words, apart from me, you can do nothing. Our lack of accomplishment, our nothing, drives us back to the vine. By nature, we don't like being told what to do. We don't want to do it their way. We want to do it our way. But as we do it God's way, as we abide in him, he abides in us, resulting in much good fruit. Apart from him, I can do nothing. But I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Where are you at this morning? Where have you been lately? Have you been abiding? Are you feeling distant? The sweet news is he's here right now. And you will be clean by the word he speaks. If you say, oh, Lord, forgive me. I'm at it again, aren't I? He will forgive you and cleanse you. If you seek him, he will be found by you. That's the promise. Would you stand with me this morning? I am standing beneath your wings. Drink it in this morning. Reconnect in Jesus' name.